Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Gimel. And we welcome Richie, who finally seems to have been able to have a glass of water after Tisha B'Av. Welcome home, Rich. Okay, so we had gotten up to yesterday. We talked about Rabba, and we talked about Ravuna yesterday. And what Ravuna, last thing we learned was that Ravuna says that the din of a shchiv mirah, the din of somebody who gives a matana, are basically the same. So in the same way that if a person who gave all of his money away, and then he recovers, it turns out he never died from the illness that he thought he was going to die from, that then the entire gift is brought to lamavoto. And we have, even though he didn't say anything about that, but we have an umdana that in such circumstances, the person would never have given away everything that he owns without keeping anything for himself unless he was certain that he was going to die. So according to Rav Huna, the same thing is true of a get. He only intended to give the get because he thought he was going to die, and even though he didn't say anything about that. Fact is that if he gets better, the get is bottom. Now, it turns out that Rabba Verava, that's what we're up to, Rabba Verava lo sfirlu had Rav Huna. They say that actually, even though the guy recovered, nonetheless, the get is a good get, which is pretty strange. We're six lines down from the top, which is pretty strange because, I mean, clearly the person only wanted to give the get thinking that he was going to die. So actually, what they hold is that the Rabbanan made a gezeira. Gezeira, shema yomru, yesh get le'achar mita. If we're going to rely on what it was that Ravuna said, and that, of course, b'diraisa, we have an umdana, the get is no get, how are people going to interpret it? What they're going to say is, well, only if the guy actually dies is the get a proper get. So they'll assume that that means that the get will only be chal after he dies, which is ridiculous. The get is chal in his lifetime, except that we take for granted an umdana that there was a condition that he would die. But they don't know about this condition. As far as they're concerned, the get was given to be chal liachar misa. And of course, a get is not chal liachar misa. And therefore, we would come out with some catastrophic dinim if people would actually think that you give a get liachar misa. And we'd be mevatel the yibums and so on. Terrible. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. How can you make a gezeira derabbanan that a get should be a get? It doesn't make any sense. Excuse me? So what are you going to say? We'll pretend that it's a good get. What do you mean we'll pretend? If we pretend it's a good get, then this woman is going to go ahead. Now she's allowed to go and get married when she never was divorced. This doesn't make any sense. She's still married to the first guy. Says the Gemara, yes. Actually, the Rabbanan, and we've seen this many times, obviously, actually, the Rabbanan can do precisely that. Why? Because called the Mekadosh Adaita, the Rabbanan Mekadosh. And the Rabbanan could be Mafkia Kiddushim Mineh. So, Afkiinu Rabbanan LeKiddushim Mineh. And the Rabbanan can say that there never was a Kiddushim in the first marriage. So, it's not really that the get works, obviously, but it's that for all intents and purposes, the get works because the Rabbanan have canceled the Kiddushim. Says the Gemara, I mean, look, you can say such a thing if the guy was Mekadosher by giving her a ring, you know, or giving her money. Okay, so in that case, I understand that Beis Din has a keach to define the ownership. So the Beis Din can say that the money that was given is not his money. That you can say. Because if the keach of Hefker Beis Din Hefker, so then the Kedusha was never Kedusha. But I understand, what if the guy was Mekadosh this woman by sleeping with her? So Kadosh Bebiya, Michael Amir, I mean, they can't deny the fact that he did sleep with her, and that act is an act of Kedushin. So, I mean, you can't change the reality of that act, can you? Omar Lay, so Ravashi said, absolutely you can. Sleeping with a woman doesn't show marriage. Sleeping with a woman shows appetite. What does that have to do with marriage? Except that since when a person has das, that it should be l'shem Kedushin, so fine, so then it becomes the Kinyan of Kedushin. But since everybody is Mekadosh, Kedat Moshe v'Yisrael, and the Rabbanan say, well, we're the ones who tell you what Kedat Moshe v'Yisrael is, And this is Shalokidat. And if it's Shalokidat, so go have fun, but don't claim that you're married. Exactly. So Shavinu Rabbanan, the Bi'ilato, Bi'ilat Zut, the Rabbanan can redefine the act, not by denying that it took place, obviously, but by saying that that is not an act of Kedushin. Fascinating. Okay, so we've seen this many times. We've had this conversation. So Tana Rabbanan, let's take a look about this issue that we have over here, where we're just assuming that if the man gave a get as a Shechiv Meira, so we ended up with this question between Ravuna, Machlokas, Rabba and Rava, Ravuna, whether the Rabbanan made a gzera that people will be chesh, will assume that yesh get liachamis. Now, we have a braita that is similar to our mission. Tan Rabbanan. Zegi tech mi hayom imati micholize. So I'm giving you this get. It should be chal from today if I end up dying. So we said that that's a perfectly good get because he wants it to be chal limafreya. The unusual case over here was that he never died from that choli, but he never recovered from that choli either. So nafala bayit alav. It was an earthquake. The guy was killed in the house. Or maybe he was bitten by a snake and he died. So what's the din? Is the kiyum imati micholize? No, he did not die micholize. It's not a get. What about if he says, imlo a'amod micholize? If I don't recover, so then if the house collapses on him and kills him, or he's bitten by a nachash, then it is a get. Now, before we continue, let me just explain to you that there's a major machlokas here between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi about how we view the situation. The Yerushalmi, being as its people in Eretz Yisrael, deals with intelligent people. The Bavli assumes that people are not intelligent. So therefore, that's what it boils down to. So therefore, the Yerushalmi says, well, what's the problem? These are two separate cases. He says, if I die from this illness, and he obviously didn't die from this illness, he died from an earthquake. On the other hand, he never recovered from the illness because he died before he recovered. So that seems to be pretty straightforward. That's how the Yerushalmi understands it, and therefore the Brisa is simply making a difference in the intention of the words imati or imlo amod. The Bavli, where people do not use language with such precision, understands that there's no difference in the way that a person refers to the possibility of his death by saying, if I die or if I don't recover. It's the same thing. If I die is if I don't recover. It's not a technicality that it would have to be that I would recover from the illness per se. He's just focused on the question because, I mean, look, all he's trying to do is to save his wife from Yibum with his idiot brother. So Beseder, okay, so he's putting it this way, he's putting it that way, but the bottom line is his intent is precisely the same, and we take the language to be loose. Therefore, the Bavli's got a problem with this Braita, because it views it as being a contradiction. First you say, if I die, Micholize, and you said me ayom, that it's a perfectly good, that in that case, he didn't die, Michaelis, that's not a good. But if he says that if I won't recover, then it is a good get. That's the same thing. How could one case say it is a good get and the other case say it's not a good get? So again, don't be troubled by the fact that there's an obvious difference between the two, since you're all living in Eretz Yisrael. Even the ones who aren't living in Eretz Yisrael are learning in Eretz Yisrael. So to you, it's quite obvious. Okay. Ask to the Gemara in the Bavli, so Maishna Resha, Maishna Seif, it's exactly the same case. So obviously this Braisa is, something's cuckoo about it, and you can't rely on this Braisa. So they sent the Shaila to Eretz Yisrael. What's the din? In a case where the guy was eaten up by a lion. They said, Ein lanu, we have no reason to assume, now most Rishonim learn, we have no reason to assume that that get would be kosher. So what it seems to be saying is that the resha of the Braisa is correct. Namely, that if the guy said imati and something else happened instead, hikisho nachash, he was killed by an earthquake, ran over by a truck, or eaten up by a lion, whatever, that the halacha is that the get is not kosher. That's how many Rishonim learn. The Rambam learns that what this means is ein lanu is we don't know. So in other words, basically what that would mean is that, I mean, this is the way some of the Achronim explain it, that since they were in Eretz Yisrael, they held that it's a Dovra Pashat, that this is the equivalent case if he said imati, and it would therefore not be a get, because he never, when there was never imati, then micholize, and the other one was imamod micholize, what the halacha would be that it would, in Eretz Yisrael, was obviously not a problem. However, since they were cheshish for the shita of the Bavli, that it means that it would be the same, so they didn't want to say that it was a kosher get. So the Rambam, that's how they understand the Rambam, that they were misupik, whether there's dafka and nafkamina between the two, and it doesn't mean we think that the get is for sure not kosher, it means it's a suf. Okay. Now, there was a maisa that actually deals with this issue, because there's another problem here that we haven't spoken about, and that is that even if the person is referring to the something that kills him, I mean, he's not thinking about dying from being eaten up by a lion. That's sort of far-fetched. So here we have a case where so a guy sold some land to a friend, and he said to him, listen, this is an amazing piece of land. It's a good deal. I know that you're reluctant to buy it. Let me tell you something. If anything goes wrong with this property, you come back to me, and I'm going to pay you back. Okay? So it's absolute ironclad. Money-back guarantee. You're not happy. Just come back to me and get your money back. Now, what happened is that the state made a dam, dammed up a river, and now the river has been diverted through this field. Well, he's got a pretty big complaint. I ain't got no field. It's at the bottom of a lake. So now the person who had given the guarantee comes to Ravina and says, do I actually have to pay this guy back? So Ravina says, why not? Of course. You got to pay him whatever he wants. If he wants his full money back, that's what you got to do. I mean, you accepted upon yourself this language. Anything that may go wrong. Ironclad. Money-back guarantee. I mean, isn't it obvious that he did not mean to accept upon himself aliens landing and making off with that part of the planet to some other galaxy? I mean, that's ridiculous. This is a crazy situation. What do you mean? The government dams up something, turns the field into the bottom of a lake? That never occurred to him. So he certainly didn't mean to take responsibility for that kind of thing. So how could you say that it's included? Anyway, so they ended up fighting over this, and they brought it to Rava. Yigalgo milta matalakami to Rava. Rava was asked, is he mechuyev or not? So Rava said he definitely did not have this in mind. And it's an unsedul shriach, and he was never mekabel on himself to pay back for something that was entirely unforeseeable. So Ravina was still into this. I mean, what do we do about the brisa that we just had? We said, the guy says that if I don't recover from this illness and the house collapsed over him or he's bitten by a snake, that it's still, even though this is very unusual, it's still considered to be a kosher get. So you see that an unusual event is still considered to be part of what the person guaranteed, so to speak. I guarantee that if I do not recover, that this is a get. I mean, did you ever think you were going to be in an earthquake? No, but that doesn't matter. Therefore, Tainiz Ravina to Rava. You see from here that an unza de lo shchiach is considered to be exactly the same as a regular guarantee. Amale Rava, excuse me, Mr. Ravina, why are you bringing me a raya from the end of this braisa that says that im lo amod, that in that case it is a get? Bring me a raya from the reisha that says imati, and he ends up dying because of kishon nachash. And over there it says eino get. Why are you bringing from the sefer? Omer le revacha midifti le ravina. What does he mean? I don't understand. But just because he's got a problem, that there seems to be a contradiction between the reisha and the sefer, so therefore, you're not allowed to bring your kasha from it. Why can't you bring Akasha? You can say, why are you paskening like the safe of the bright, the erasure of the bright, to paskin like the safe of the bright? I mean, it's also Akasha. It's not 100% that he's wrong, but where's he getting it from? You can still ask him that, can't you? Said Ravina, no, don't be silly. Of course you can't. He's 100% right. I mean, once there's Akasha, Resha, Asefa, then that means that this Brighta is an uncertified Brighta. Remember that any Brighta that exhibits signs of not having gone through a process of sifting in the Beis HaMedrash is not a Brighta you bring a Raya from. So clearly, lo itmar be midrasha, umir shabashtei. That means that you cannot rely on the wording of this Brighta. How can you use this Akasha? So throw out the Brighta. You're left with your Svara, Zilbasser Svara, okay? I can't disprove this Svara that the person was never thinking in terms of being eaten up by a lion or bitten by a snake. There was a very similar story to this where Rav Papa and Ravuna Bereda Rav Yoshua. So they were in business together and they bought a bunch of sesame on the sellers had a big factory. And they would ship everything on the Malka, on the river Malka, right? And what they would do, the company would actually guarantee the delivery. So that way, if people were nervous about getting their shipment and they don't live anywhere nearby and they're 100 miles downstream, the company guaranteed your shipment will get to you. No problem. We've been shipping this way for decades. Okay. So Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bereda Rav Yeshua, they bought a bunch of sesame seeds, and they took the normal shipping company, Algor Malchei Lelburini, and, of course, the company had still given the guarantee. Kabil Alayakol Unsidem Isyali. In the end, the craziest thing happened. Nadavka, right after Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bereda Rav Yeshua, bought the sesame seeds, they put up a dam across the Malka River. So there was no way to transport this down the Malka River any longer. So they told the people, the company, they said, listen, you gave us an ironclad guarantee of delivery. It's not our problem. Get yourself some drones and deliver it to us. And I don't care how much it costs. Or if you can't find any drones, you could always hire some donkeys, you know. So hire UPS donkey. You promised to get it to us, and we're waiting. You said anything includes a crazy dam put across the Malka River. Anyway, so, I mean, these people, they came to Rav and they said, these guys want us to pay them for something that was entirely unforeseeable. I mean, so what's the din? So Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bereda Rav Yeshua, Rava was absolutely furious at them. You tried to get these people to pay you up? You bunch of white geese, Kaki Chivri, he calls them. Why? Because these are Rabbanan and they've got their, you know, their gray hair is flying and their long white beards, you know. You look like a bunch of white geese when you come. What kind of people are you? Meshacha Glimit Inche. The type of people that tear the shirt off of people's back. Try to make them think that you know what you're talking about. These big rabbis came in there with their flowing white beards, you know? Yeah, like the white geese flow in. You can't hold people responsible for something that is entirely unforeseeable. It doesn't matter that they said any onus. Any onus means any onus that happens in normal commerce, whoever it is, such a thing. For 50 years, they've been shipping down the Malka River, and now all of a sudden the Malka River is impassable. And there... Yeah, absolutely classic. And now we have our classic.
About classics, right?
Yes, indeed. And speaking about white geese, you look pretty much like a white goose yourself. Goshe, give us the Mishnah.
Wait,
I'm one to talk. Listen, an ish et by definition, any eight is his eight, right? So go ahead. Yes, that's exactly what was just raised. Yeah, force majeure. Yes, that is. Yeah. I mean, Lamites and most insurance policies actually make that Befarisha tonight. Thank you for those words. Oh, amazing. That's very valuable. Now, we're talking about a case, a bunch of cases we had. A guy gives a get, and the get is going to be chal retroactively, right? So he says, mi'ayom, mi'achshav, imati. Well, I mean, this sort of puts them in a funny position. Is she married or is she not married? I mean, because do you know, like, that this is going to end up being a get or not? And then you always have the issue of if Lamaisa, she ends up sleeping with him during that period, so then do we need to be chayshish that this is a new kiddushin? And that even if the get was chal retroactively, since they're such lovey-doveys, maybe they want to get married again, you know? So therefore, lo tityached imo, she shouldn't be alone with him, because if she is, so then we would assume that maybe they wanted to get remarried, right? There would be a big problem. If there were edim that see them to be misyached, so then we would have to be chayshish. That's one approach. The other approach is lo tityached imo, because maybe they're not married, and he's not supposed to be alone with a woman he's not married to. So this we're going to see throughout the sugya, the question of whether we're actually chayshish for a new kiddushin. But clearly there are two separate issues that we need to take into consideration. Maybe it was Baal Hashem kiddushin, and even if we say, if we ends up, we'll see as big machlokas, that we're not chayshish for a new kiddushin, you're not allowed to be alone with an unmarried woman. So technically, she might be an unmarried woman. So unless there's witnesses there, and she's, meaning there's people there, it doesn't mean witnesses, there's people there that would make it unreasonable that they would go have relations in front of these people. So afilu al pi eved, afilu al pi shivcha, as long as there's someone there that she wouldn't feel comfortable having relations with him, chutz mi shivchata, unless it's her own personal shivcha, where over there she feels perfectly comfortable doing anything in the presence of her own personal shivcha, and that would not be considered to be a disturbing presence. So that's because mipnei sheliba gaspa b'shivchata, and her shivcha shares every aspect of her life with her, so her sexual relations, she doesn't feel embarrassed in front of her shivcha. Now, the question is, if you did such a thing, a guy gives a woman a get, and he says that it is going to, and we're going to see exactly what the case is later on. But we know there's plenty of cases we could say it would take effect while I'm alive. So it could be he said, mi'achshav, could be he said, mi'ayom, and imati, right? So the Mishnah said that that's fine. Now, it could also be, remember that we have an option, which we're going to be discussing, if he says it should be chal one moment before my death. Now, that makes things more complicated, as we'll see. So we're not quite certain what the case is over here, and the Gemara is going to sort of tease this apart. So what is the din of this woman during that period? In other words, from that moment she got to get until her husband actually dies. So Rabbi Yehuda says, well, what do you mean? She's like an eshet ish, totally, because... Okay, now this could be because the get takes place only an instant before the husband died, and meanwhile, she is completely an eshes ish, and therefore, if she sleeps with somebody else, this is the normal chiyuvim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no, it's a mesupik. She's Megureshet, but she's not for sure Megureshet. So if somebody sleeps with her, he would bring an Oshem Toloi. He wouldn't be Chayev Vechatas if it was an accident, and we certainly couldn't kill him. Okay, obviously there are other issues as well. What about the din of inheritance and all the other halachas about monetary issues of the wedding? All of those things we'll discuss later. So now we have a brisa that gives us some more information about what we mean when we say they can't be alone together. So as we mentioned, there are two possibilities. That if they're alone, that we're going to be chayish for kedushin, in which case the get's not going to be much good because you're going to need another get. Or maybe we won't be chayish for kedushin, but he'll be over an iser because how is he allowed to sleep with this woman just because she was his wife if she's not his wife? Satan Rabban. Let's say that somebody sees them alone in the dark. Or, for that matter, they're both sleeping under the bed. Everybody knows what they're typically going down there for, right? Wrong. No. Ein choshishin shema nitasku b'davar acher. What makes you have such a dirty mind? They're just sleeping under the bed. But, I mean, of course, we are choshish b'shum znus. What in the world does that mean? So the Gemara, of course, is going to ask what is the practice trying to talk about. So choshishim mishum znus, v'ein choshishim mishum kedushin. Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yudaimer, we're even choshishim mishum kedushin, and therefore you're going to need another get. Seems to be saying, right? Because at this point, the first get is now bottle. Excuse me. You said, why do you suspect them just because they're under the bed together? Oh, I don't know why I suspect them. But, and then you say, but we do suspect them. Do we or don't we? Micah Omar, what are you saying? Omra Nachon Omra Rabba Baravua. Well, there's a whole piece missing here in the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah is indeed, we do not suspect them of having had relations. Okay. The next part of the Mishnah, you have to put in this piece, the Brisa. You have to assume this piece. What about if we actually saw them having relations? Then what? So now, in that case, l'chayra chayshishim mishum kedushin. Because you said in the Reisha, you don't have to worry mishum dover acher. And if I did have to worry about mishum dover acher, so what would that mean? I put up signs saying these people are bad? It means I'm chayshish for kedushin, right? But okay, so that means if I actually see them sleeping together, so then I am chayshish for kedushin. So how can you say we're not chayshish for kedushin if I did see them sleeping together? Ah, because there's another piece missing in the braita. What the braita is saying is, yes, you would be chayshish mishum kedushin, but suppose you see him passing her money after you see them sleeping together. Okay, so then you assume that this guy's a little hard up. He misses his wife. She's his ex-wife. He's paying her. He's paying her for the relations, but he does not have any intention of making a new kedushin. Because why else would he be passing her cash? So then we're on the chayshish mishum znus. And we have chayshishin means, as we've said, we can rely on that. Okay, so that means we're not going to be chayshish that she was actually mekudeshes. That's what it means. So there's a lot missing in this Mishnah. Because if money passed between them, amrinan mishum etnena natamba. So he gave it to her probably just to pay her. Ve'ein choshishim mishum kedushin. So that you have to put all that into the description of the bride. Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yuda Omer, that actually, even in that case, af bezu, even in a case where he paid her, we still need to worry that maybe it was for kedushin. And why did he pay her? He didn't pay her. Remember, they're now all lovey-dovey. She needed money for the makolet, so he gave her money for the makolet. What a ridiculous way of cynicism. My gosh. He gave her money, so he must be paying her. That's ridiculous. Okay, so therefore we have to be chayshish. Now, the question is, there's a big machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about exactly this issue, and it's not clear what they were arguing in. So now the Gemara is taking for granted that, and this is based on the Mishnah we're going to have later on in the Masechta, about the case where a woman goes to a hotel with her ex-husband. So Beit Shammai says in that Mishnah, Eina tzricha menu get sheni. And Beis Hillel says, tzricha menu get sheni. Now the question is, what is it talking about? Is it talking about that she just went into the hotel? Or is it talking about that that's just a nice way of saying that they were seen sleeping with each other? Right? Now, Rabbi Yochanan over there says that it's actually Rabbi Barachanam, Rabbi Yochanan, as we'll see later on. But Rabbi Yochanan says over there that the Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel was talking about a case not where they just happened to go to a hotel together, but where Adam saw that she actually slept with him. But just the fact that they were in a hotel together, nobody holds that you need to get, and Beis Hillel agrees with Beit Shammai. And what we want to find out now is how exactly do the cases that we're talking about in the Braisa stack up with the Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in the Mishnah later on. So now, if we're going to take Rabbi Yochanan's approach to that Mishnah, that's not the only approach, but according to the way Rabbi Yochanan approaches the Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, that it's talking about that they were actually seen sleeping with each other, and not just in Yichud. So then if that's the case, I'd like to know what the Braisa holds legabe that case. So Kaman Ozla, Hadi Omer Rabba Barbachana Omer Rabbi Yochanan. So he said, and here's the Lashon, Machlokes Kishoru Ashenivala. The entire Machlokes Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is only where they were actually seen sleeping together. Avalora Uashenivala. So now, our Braisa, does it agree with Rabbi Yochanan? Yes. It works out perfectly. Because according to the way we just explained the Braisa, I mean, we explained the Braisa in a very, very funny way. We put in all kinds of additional material. If he paid her, he didn't pay her. But the way that we explained the Braisa, everybody agrees, the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, that if they just saw her alone, even if they're sleeping under the bed together, that we don't have any question. Oh, exactly. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said is Beis Hillel's opinion, right? That everybody would agree that in that case, if you didn't see them actually having relations, then you don't have to worry about it. Perfect. So then the way we just explained the Braisa, it works according to Rabbi Yochanan. Furthermore, it's also clear here, that way we just explained it, that if we did see them and we didn't see any money passing between them, and we did see them actually having relations, that she does need another get. Fine. Okay, that also works perfectly well according to Rabbi Yochanan. So, lovely. So then it's Kedivrei HaKol. Maskifla Abaye. This is very weird. Because the way Rabbi Bar Avuha just explained the Braisa with all of this additional material, and that depends whether we saw money or not. I mean, it doesn't say one word over here about money. Whoever talked about money? Well, how do you interpret a Braisa that it's talking about money? Midei Ksafim Katani. Doesn't say anything about money. I mean, isn't that the most important thing to bring up? I mean, that's a completely out of left field kind of issue. You can't tell me that, of course, I as a reader am supposed to understand that that's what we mean when we're Choshish B'Shul B'Sinus or not. No, I don't believe it. That can't be what the Braisa means. Okay, so then what are we going to do with the Braisa? Elam Rabbi, I'll tell you. I see the Braisa means like this. Ra'u Ashenivala does not mean here. What we need to talk about is in the event that we would have seen the actual relation. So then, Choshish Mishum Znus. So in other words, the first part of the Braisa say, you see them sleeping under the bed together, don't have a dirty mind. You see them actually sleeping together, so then Choshish Mishum Znus, Vein Choshish Mishum Kedushin. We have no concern that she's going to need another get. And all we need to consider is the fact that they were sleeping together for fun. That's all. Nothing to do with money. Why would you throw in money? And then that would mean that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that we would even be choshish for kedushin, not only mishum znus. In this case, af choshish mishum kedushin. Okay. Now, if that's the pshat in the Braita, then it definitely does not stack up that well with the way that Rabbi Yochanan was quoted as explaining the Machlokas with between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. So now, the way that we just explained the price according to Abaye, how does that work out with Kaman Ozla, Hadiyomer, Rabba, Barba Chana, Rabbi Yochanan? What about the Shitas over here of the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda? Do they actually work out according to Beis, obviously we're talking about according to Beis Hillel, because we don't think that anybody is giving up Shad Aliba to Beis Shammai. So now, the way that Rabbi Yochanan understood Beit Hillel, and that Beit Hillel only says that you would need a get if you actually see them having relations. So machlokes kishiro u'a shenivala, avalora u'a shenivala, nobody would say that you need a get sheni. So then, according to this, who is Rabbi Yochanan going according to? Well, he's only going according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Because the way that Abaye explained it, remember, the Chachomim say, no, even if you see them sleeping together, you're only Chashim Mishum Znos, not Mishum Kedushin. And the only one who said you are Chashim Mishum Kedushin is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. So then that means that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is going Aliba Beit Hillel, and the Chachomim are going Aliba to Beit Shammai? I mean, no, obviously, they disagree with this interpretation. And they hold that that's not, there never was such a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. That's what you would have to say, Aliba to Rabbi Yochanan. So there's only one approach in this bright that's consistent with the Mishnah later on between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, the way that Rabbi Yochanan's understanding the Mishnah. Now, Rava says, I don't like your approach to the Brisa either. I agree with you that it's ridiculous to say we're talking about money passing hands and that's true. You're right about that. But I don't think that you're right in the way that you understood Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Because if that's what Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda meant, so then why would he say af? My af. If you're talking about af, then basically you're talking about I'm going to be machmer, right? So he would have said, in the same case as the Tanakhama, I'm going to be machmer. But the way that Abaye understood the Tanakhama, so basically the Tanakhama is saying, akula, we're chayshesh mishum znus and only mishum znus. So what Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda should have said is that we do chayshesh actually, for Kedushin. What do you mean, even in this case, we're Chayshish Mishum Kedushin? That's not the right way to have said it. You should say, Chayshish Mishum Kedushin. So therefore, I say, you're not understanding Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. I agree with you about what you said, Aliba Rabbana. We don't have any problems about thinking that she needs another get. But Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, if you actually saw them sleeping with each other, that's not the right way. The right way is to understand that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, even if, that's what the even means, even if you didn't actually see them having relations, Chashim Yishum Kedushin, that's what he said. So in other words, he's being machmer, and the way he's being machmer on the same case. Okay, so now that would mean that, so now nobody's going according to Rabbi Yochanan's way of understanding the Machlokes Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Because what Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is saying as a Tana is that even if they would just be Yichud, we would also be Chayshish Mishum Kedushin. Nobody holds that. The way Rabbi Yochanan was learning, even Beis Hillel never said you need to get Cheney just because you were alone. It was only because we actually saw them having relations. So that's not like him. And obviously the Tanakhama says even if you saw them having relations, they don't need a get. So then, according to this, machlokes kishru uashinivala, avalora uashinivala, lo divrekol inatricha menaget. This is completely and totally against the way that we're just understanding the Braisa, because the Tanakhama says, even if we would see them having relations, we're assuming that it's not the same condition. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, even if we didn't see them having relations, we do assume that they're having going to be having another Kedushin and need another get. Which, according to Rabbi Yochanan, nobody says. Even Beit Hillel never said that. So that would mean, according to this approach, Rabbi Yochanan's explanation of that Mishnah is completely wrong, or there never was such a Mishnah. I mean, that's the way Rabbi Yochanan is going to have to explain the Braita the way that Rav is explaining it now. So therefore, we can't possibly fit this in the way you just said it over. So you can see how the three approaches that we have to our Braita are very relevant to the Mishnah later on.